Welcome, curious minds. Today, we're taking a deep dive into edge AI. It's a field that's, well, it's buzzing with incredible potential. You hear all the time about AI transforming, everything from smart homes to really advanced robotics. But getting that intelligence to actually operate right where it's needed, on those small, power-efficient devices out in the real world, at the edge, that presents a really unique set of challenges. So our mission today is to unpack the current landscape of edge AI development. We're going to zoom right in on the big hurdles developers are facing, especially what people often call the tooling gap. It makes building these real-world AI products surprisingly difficult. And then this is where it gets really interesting. We'll pivot to the solutions. We'll look at how new platforms are stepping up, bridging those gaps, and really empowering developers.
Yeah, what's truly fascinating here is how you have this immense promise, right? Real-world intelligence at the edge, but it often gets bottlenecked. And not always by the AI models themselves, but by really practical day-to-day development stuff. So we'll kind of synthesize the core problems developers run into and then crucially connect this directly to the solutions making a real difference, turning something complex and frankly fragmented into something way more accessible.
Okay, let's set the stage a bit. Most of us, we're pretty familiar with cloud-based AI, right? Massive servers and data centers doing the heavy lifting. But edge AI, that's a completely different beast, isn't it?
Yeah.
What makes building for the edge so uniquely challenging compared to just, deploying on a big server farm somewhere?
Well, if you look at it from the developer's perspective, edge AI isn't just about training a model. That's often the maybe easier part. These systems, they have to function on really resource-constrained hardware. Think tiny sensors, embedded devices. They need to respond in real time, often without relying on a constant cloud connection. And they've got to be robust, easily updatable, and incredibly power efficient. Like battery life is everything sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's really about building a full stack product. It covers everything.
Yeah.
Getting the data, processing signals, optimizing the model, integrating it all into the firmware, and then, deploying it and managing it on the actual device.
Wow.
So yeah, this raises a big question. If it's that stringent, that complex, what are the specific spots where developers really hit the wall?
Right. And you've been digging into this edge AI tooling gap paper, which sounds like it really lays out these friction points. It's not just one big problem, is it? It's more like a whole series of interconnected issues, these tripwires. Where do we even start picking them apart?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The paper definitely outlines several key tooling gaps.
Mm.
And they make the whole development and deployment pipeline feel, well, fractured, complex, really resource intensive. It's almost like trying to build a custom race car, but you have to invent every single tool as you go along.
Okay, so what's the first major hurdle?
The first big one is around data collection and labeling at the edge.
Ah, getting the raw data itself.
Exactly. Developers struggle, I mean, immensely, trying to collect good, clean, representative data and properly labeled data too, right? From the real world sensors, the actual devices. And there's often just very limited support, tooling-wise, for streaming that data or annotating it efficiently, organizing it. Imagine trying to teach an AI about, say, a specific machine fault sound in a noisy factory.
Yeah.
You'd have to manually tag every single instance from raw audio. It's a colossal effort, a huge bottleneck right at the start.
That inability to get clean, representative data right from the source sounds like a really fundamental problem if you're struggling there. Okay, what's the next major hurdle once a developer does manage to get some data?
Right. That leads directly into the second gap, model optimization for embedded devices.
Okay, making the AI model fit.
Precisely. So you train your AI model, maybe in the cloud or on a powerful machine, but getting it to run efficiently on this tiny, low-power hardware, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Developers face these incredibly manual, often error-prone workflows.
Yeah.
Things like quantization.
Which is making the numbers smaller, right? Less precise, but faster.
Exactly. Reducing the precision to make the model smaller and quicker. Or pruning, which is like trimming unnecessary parts of the model's brain.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly difficult to target all the different chipsets out there. You've got tiny microcontrollers, slightly beefier microprocessors.
Yeah.
And you have to fine-tune the performance for each specific one. It's not just about shrinking a file. It's like trying to translate a supercomputer's thoughts into a language a tiny chip understands without losing the intelligence.
And I bet that problem just gets worse with all the different hardware choices available. Which leads to the next point, right? This hardware and accelerator fragmentation. How does that mess things up for developers?
Oh, yeah. Hardware and accelerator fragmentation. That's a huge one.
Uh-huh.
It's particularly insidious. You have hardware vendors. and they often use their own proprietary tool chains for their special AI accelerator chips.
Right, locking you in.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which leads to really limited cross-compatibility. There's a definite lack of standardized ways to deploy models. You'll find inconsistent support for common formats like ONNX or TensorFlow Lite across different hardware. So what often happens is developers have to basically rebuild or significantly re-optimize their models for each specific hardware target they want to use.
Oh, man.
Just think about the friction, the delays that creates. Just trying to get your AI working on chip A versus chip B, it's a massive time sink.
That sounds incredibly frustrating. A huge drain on time and resources. Okay, so after somehow wrestling your optimized model into shape for one piece of hardware, you still have to actually get it onto the device. What's the final hurdle there?
The deployment complexity.
Got it. That's a hardware deployment complexity. There's this persistent lack of standardization across microcontrollers, microprocessors, different real-time operating systems.
It's kind of the Wild West down there at the firmware level.
It can feel like it. Integrating these AI models smoothly into the device's core firmware stack, that often requires really deep embedded systems expertise, which, you know, not every AI developer, especially someone coming maybe from a pure software or data science background, actually possesses.
Yeah, totally different world sometimes.
So you might have this brilliant AI model, but getting it to run reliably as part of the device's basic software becomes this specialized, really complex task.
And the pain doesn't stop once it's deployed, right?
Yeah.
Because these things need to live out in the world.
Yeah.
What about testing, validation, updates? Testing, validation, and OTA updates. Yeah, this is a critical lifecycle challenge. Often, there just aren't streamlined tool chains for properly simulating sensor input to really test the models rigorously beforehand. Or for accurately testing things like latency and power consumption before you ship thousands of devices.
That sounds risky.
It is. And then developers face real difficulty monitoring the models once they're deployed out in the field, especially if connectivity is spotty or, you know, non-existent sometimes. And maybe most importantly, there often aren't common frameworks for managing different versions of your model or for pushing updates securely and dynamically over the product's life. That's crucial for fixing bugs, improving performance, adding features.
So it sounds like all these individual gaps, they really add up to one big overarching problem for the developer trying to build something, which right. I guess leads to that final point in the paper, the fragmented developer experience.
Precisely. That point really sums it all up. You've got your AI tools over here, your embedded SDKs over there, maybe some signal processing libraries, hardware drivers.
Yeah.
And they're often totally disjointed.
They don't play nice together.
Exactly. They don't speak the same language, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. And this leads to incredibly steep learning curves, especially for folks who aren't already deep experts in all these areas but are trying to get into edge AI. They get overwhelmed by all the different tools, the specialized knowledge needed for each step. It's like having, you know, all the ingredients for an amazing 5-course meal, but every ingredient requires a different kitchen, and there's no recipe book connecting them.
Wow. Okay, that paints a very clear and honestly pretty daunting picture. It's not just about knowing AI. It's being an expert in embedded systems, hardware quirks, data pipelines, deployment, all these things that are often siloed. But the good news is the paper also points towards solutions, using platforms like Edge Impulse as an example of how these gaps are actually being closed. So what does this shift mean for developers? How are they finally being empowered?
Right. This is where the landscape really starts to change, thankfully. Platforms designed specifically for edge AI development, and Edge Impulse is a great example, they provide an end-to-end, usually cloud-based solution that starts to unify this whole fragmented process. They essentially offer a suite of tools that directly addresses those gaps you just talked about, turning what was, a multidisciplinary nightmare into a much more cohesive workflow.
Okay, so how do they tackle that first hurdle, the data collection nightmare?
Well, they typically provide an integrated data pipeline. These platforms offer tools specifically designed for collecting sensor data, often directly from the devices themselves. And this is combined with built-in features for data labeling, data augmentation, which is like synthetically creating more useful data from what you have, and importantly, data versioning.
Ah, tracking your data changes.
Exactly. Imagine going from raw, messy sensor streams to clean, labeled, versioned data sets much more automatically. It immediately tackles that really painful first gap, makes data prep way more efficient, removes maybe the most manual, frustrating hurdle.
Okay, so they're taking a lot of that data wrangling headache away, letting developers focus more on the AI part. That sounds like a huge shift.
It absolutely is. And they go further by integrating signal processing plus ML in one flow.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
It means developers get access to things like visual digital signal processing blocks, DSP blocks that plug directly into the machine learning model pipelines. So you can pre-process your raw sensor data, clean it up, extract features, and then feed it straight into your ML model, all within the same environment.
Seamlessly.
Yeah, pretty seamlessly. They often offer pre-built feature extractors, too, for common data types like audio, motion, vision, time series data. This streamlines what was traditionally a really complex step, often needing specialized DSP knowledge. It puts powerful signal processing into the hands of more developers.
That combination sounds really powerful, simplifying that whole data-to-model path. Now, what about that other massive headache optimizing models for all those different quirky hardware targets?
Right, there's a huge barrier. But now, these platforms are offering target-aware model optimization.
Target-aware, meaning it knows about the specific chip.
Exactly. Think things like automated quantization, where the platform helps figure out the best way to shrink the model for a specific chip, and compiler-aware optimization. This allows for much more seamless deployment to a whole range of platforms, common ones like ARM, Cortex-M microcontrollers, Cortex-A processors, ESP32, and others. Crucially, the platform abstracts away many of those tricky hardware-specific constraints. It significantly reduces the burden of dealing with all those different vendor-specific tools.
So developers don't necessarily have to rebuild the model from scratch for every chip anymore.
In many cases, no. Or at least the process is far, far simpler. It frees them from that constant rebuilding and retuning cycle. It's honestly a game changer for speeding things up and making projects feasible across different devices.
That must be a massive relief for developers. Okay, so the model is optimized, it knows its target. How do they simplify actually getting it onto the hardware? That deployment step often felt like a final frustrating puzzle.
Yeah, they tackle that with features often called something like one-click deployment and testing. They provide ways to easily export the necessary firmware or libraries. And critically, this bundle includes both the optimized ML model and the necessary DSP code, all packaged together.
Ah, so everything needed to run the intelligence is bundled up.
Exactly. Makes integration much easier. And they often offer features for remote device testing and even live classification streaming back from the device. So getting the model onto the hardware and then checking if it actually works. Much simpler, much faster. It really takes the puzzle aspect out of deployment.
It really sounds like they're thinking about the entire developer journey end to end, from the raw sensor all the way to deployment. And I guess a big part of that is just making the tools themselves easier to use.
Absolutely. A huge focus is on the developer-friendly user experience. This means intuitive web-based interfaces for visual workflows, but also powerful command line interfaces, or CLIs for automation, and robust APIs for integration into other systems. And importantly, they work with existing ML ecosystems. They support importing models from or exporting to common tools like TensorFlow, PyTorch, ONNX. Developers aren't forced into a completely alien environment.
That interoperability is key.
Totally. Plus, they support a wide range of use cases, not just time series data like sensors and motion, but also computer vision tasks like image classification, object detection. This really broadens the accessibility, makes edge AI development possible for developers with different backgrounds and levels of expertise. It helps democratize the field.
Okay, one last piece of the puzzle. Managing these models once they're out there. That lifecycle management seemed like a major gap before.
Right, and that's addressed through robust lifecycle model management features. These platforms offer strong support for managing different versions of your models, keeping track of their performance metrics, maintaining a history of deployments.
So you know what's running where and how well it's doing.
Precisely. They have built-in tools that allow developers to push model updates securely and efficiently to connected devices, even devices already out in the field, OTA updates, essentially. And they often provide frameworks for monitoring how the model is behaving post-deployment, looking for things like data drift, making sure performance stays high. This really tackles those long-term maintenance and evolution challenges that used to be a real headache for edge AI products.
It really sounds like by streamlining all these incredibly complex, often fragmented steps, these platforms aren't just making things a bit easier. They're truly enabling a whole new wave of innovation. It's like taking the friction out of the process and putting the power back into the hands of the builders.
Exactly. And if we step back and look at the broader implications, by lowering that barrier to entry and unifying the development stack, platforms like Edge Impulse, they have some pretty profound effects, far beyond just making one developer's life easier.
How so?
Well, first, they genuinely empower startups, small teams, even solo developers, to build real-world AI products. You don't necessarily need massive specialized teams with deep embedded expertise for every single step anymore.
Right, it levels the playing field.
It really does. It dramatically expands who can create these intelligent devices, fosters a much more diverse and hopefully vibrant ecosystem. Second, they just accelerate product development cycles. Massively. Things that used to take months, maybe even years, of really bespoke engineering, now they can potentially be achieved in a fraction of that time.
Faster time to market.
Much faster innovation, quicker time to market. Ideas can become real products much sooner. And thirdly, thinking about learning and research. They encourage experimentation in academia and education. They democratize access to this cutting-edge tech. Imagine students or researchers being able to quickly prototype and test edge AI ideas without getting totally bogged down in low-level hardware stuff. Ultimately, it feels like they're democratizing edge AI development across different geographies, different experience levels, opening the field up.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's not just about efficiency, is it? It's about making this advanced AI development genuinely accessible to so many more people. It really highlights this idea that the next wave of intelligent edge products, it depends not only on, you know, faster chips or newer AI models, but just as much on building better tools for the builders.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it fundamentally shifts the focus away from wrestling with all that underlying complexity toward actually innovating with the AI itself.
Wow, what a deep dive that was. We've really uncovered those intricate challenges that historically made edge AI development feel like this complex maze for developers, you know, from the fragmented hardware, the manual optimization, the disjointed tools, difficult deployments. But we also saw how these integrated hardware-aware and really developer-centric tools are now paving the way, making the path much smoother, much more empowering.
Yeah, and it really raises an important question, I think. If these primary bottlenecks, the tooling bottlenecks for bringing AI into the real world, are increasingly being resolved, what does that actually unlock in terms of the sheer scale, the diversity of intelligent products we can expect to see maybe in the very near future?
That's a great question to leave folks with. As you reflect on this, maybe consider how removing those technical barriers might just unleash developers' imaginations, allowing them to shift from, you know, wrestling with complexity to creating intelligent solutions we can only just begin to dream of today. Until next time, keep exploring.